Well, we're going to continue along with our series on healing. And the last few weeks, I've been talking about the issue of faith. What about faith? Because of the accounts that are in the Gospels, healing accounts, a number of them actually mention the faith of the individual. And of the 19 major healing accounts that are listed in the Gospels, 10 of them actually do mention the faith of the person that's being healed. So faith is an issue. And I think there's some things that we obviously need to have. We've learned a lot about faith over the years, obviously. Of course, we call ourselves a Word of Faith church. But we have learned a lot about faith. But at the same time, I think there's more to learn because we don't always see today, we don't always see the same kind of results they had that we see recorded in the scriptures. Now, I'm not implying that we always need to see some kind of instantaneous thing happen, but oftentimes we did see that. And, but we do know that in many cases, it says, as they went, they were healed. And that healing was always the end result when Jesus ministered or when faith was involved. And so I think there's some things we still are maybe not quite understanding about faith. One of the things that I've suggested over the last few weeks is that I'm concerned that oftentimes what we say we believe, we're trying to equate that with faith. And people have tried to make those two words synonymous. And while believing can certainly become true Bible faith, and we'll see more how that happens today, it isn't always the case because believing really is just an acknowledgement that what we've heard from God's word is the truth. And I know every person in here, I know you all, you know, enough to believe that I could say without question that if we were to talk about the issue of healing, that probably every person in here, including the little people, all the little people, that they could tell me why it's God's will to heal. They could quote some scriptures. They could tell us what they believe. And if I were to challenge that and to tell them, well, what about God trying to teach you through illness or any of those things, you know, everybody would pretty much have the right solution to that or answer to that. And so yet we see people struggle in the area of healing. And so rather than shy away from that, you know, sometimes when things aren't working, people are just quiet about it. They just don't talk about it. They don't want to bring it up. They don't want to talk about it because maybe it's embarrassing or they feel ashamed of that or they feel there's some condemnation or something working on them. And that shouldn't be, you know, that is not the heart of our Father ever. Ever. And when we address the types of things we've been talking about, it's because God loves us. And Jesus brought these things up. Jesus, we see from the accounts that we've looked at so far, that Jesus addressed these issues. These are things that he felt totally, totally at peace about sharing and talking to people about, confronting the issue of sin, confronting the issue of whether or not they were in faith. Jesus did that. He didn't get in their face, but he did talk to people about these things. And so we shouldn't be afraid to talk with one another about that. If somebody's struggling and if something's been long and drawn out and it's a protracted type of thing that just doesn't seem to ever come to an end, then we need to examine ourselves. Jesus said that. Examine yourself to see if you're in faith. So we should be willing to examine ourselves. We should always, in any area, because God's word never fails. When we've actually heard God's word in our heart, his word will never fail us. It will never, ever abandon us. And so then the issue falls to us to find out, where am I missing this? There's something I'm missing. Is that, again, is that meant to shame us? Absolutely not. But we should be like those noble Bereans that are just eager to find the answers for things. You know, we can't always just say, well, it's just the enemy attacking me. Yes, the enemy is usually behind it, but the thing is for him to continue to hold out on us, something's not right there because we already have the victory. So the issue of believing in faith, it's just been a source of confusion for many, many people because I think we have equated what we say we believe with actually being in faith. You know, you could say you believe that God's a healer and never receive your healing. So something's not right there. We have to see that there's a difference there. There actually is some kind of difference. And We have people, you know, churches that are just full of people that know the promises of God on any given number of topics, and yet their experience is not reflecting what they say they believe. Could be in the area of finances. They believe God wants to meet their needs, but their needs aren't met. So then, of course, what happens if these things don't get resolved? If we don't get the answers to these things, what that does is that brings questions to us. We begin to question. And oftentimes we don't question ourselves, we question God. And that's where the traditions and doctrines of men come from. Because people look to something other than God for the answer. They look at the experience that they've had. They look at the experience that someone that they care about has had. And so they'll come to conclusions based on experiences rather than on what God's word says. And that's where the traditions and doctrines of men that what? Make God's word of none effect. That's where they come from. We don't want to fall into that category. Amen. We've all heard those things come out of the lips of people. You know, they'll say something that we know is just not true. Well, they're basing that on something that's happened in their life or the life of someone they know. So we want to make sure that our belief system is strong, but that there's more than just having this good, solid base of knowledge, that intellectual knowledge, because so much of that is just intellectual. It's just what we would call, the Bible would call it, the Bible doesn't call it, but I think it was it Smith Wigglesworth? Was it Wigglesworth that called it mental assent? One of the great fathers of faith called it mental assent. It's just mental assent. That's all it is. And while that's good, while getting our minds renewed and having a strong base of beliefs is really important, that isn't enough. It really isn't enough. So, again, I'm going to just reiterate some of the things I've shared the last couple of weeks, because I think we have to just kind of slowly trudge through this, so that we really know that we know that we know that what faith really is and how does it work? How does it operate? So we looked at a couple accounts from Matthew chapter 9 and Mark chapter 10, the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9, and then blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. And we saw in both of those situations that Jesus addressed the issue of faith. He brought the issue of faith up. He made that an issue. So again, that sort of sets a Bible precedent that it's okay, it's acceptable for us to examine and to talk about these things. It's not something we should be embarrassed about or ashamed of. Hey, if it's not working, let's find out why. We know it's never God. We know it's never God that it's not working. Never, never, never. God isn't holding out for some reason. You know, if he just holds out a little bit, it'll make us more patient or a little stronger. Most people don't respond that way. Most people get frustrated and confused. Some people even get angry. There's people that walk away from God because a loved one dies. They abandon their walk with God over these things. So these things do not make us better. They make people bitter is what they do. So we don't want that. And there's answers. And if we're students with some integrity, we'll look into God's word and try to find what are the answers here. What are the reasons for this? One of them is that we need to understand how faith comes. Now, again, this is review, but it bears repeating. How does faith come? You know, we all know what Romans 10:17 says, don't we? We all know it. We've heard it. You know, it's a very well-known, often quoted scripture in a church like ours. But Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to look at Romans. Let's look at Romans chapter 10 this morning. Let's look in our Bibles at Romans, or on your phones, or whatever you look at. Let's look at it, though. Amen. Let's look at what it says, and let's look at what it doesn't say. Because sometimes what it doesn't say tells us as much as what it does say. So Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, as I pointed out last week, one thing it does not say, that this verse does not say, is it does not say that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And yet, most people, that's what they, well, faith just comes by hearing the word. Pastor gets up and he preaches a message on Sunday morning, and he gives us a gazillion scriptures, usually, doesn't he? is never a lack of scriptures in pastor preaching. Turn to here, turn to, I mean, I take notes and I've got a whole page full of scripture references. So, boy, I got a lot of faith. Faith came to me because I heard a lot of the scriptures. But that's not what this is telling us. There's more here than what meets the eye. It doesn't say that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Because if faith simply came by hearing the word of God, then something is wrong. We would all be super giants spiritually. We would all be on the having all of our needs have been met because we've heard so many things preached about so many topics. We would be in a different place experientially. And so we have heard with our physical ears, haven't we? So this is not saying it's just an issue. Yes, we need to hear God's word. We need to hear the preaching of the message sitting under anointed ministers of God. You know, I'll just kind of pipe in with what pastor's been preaching about the necessity of coming to church. Why is it important to be in a service? Something happens in a service. There's a corporate anointing that is present in a service. Where God, because we come together where, you know, there's just more people pulling on the throne of God to hear from the Spirit of God. And there's things that God will say that will touch our hearts. And we've probably all experienced this to some degree or another where we've been in a really good service. We've gone to maybe a special meeting or something. We heard something that really spoke to us. I'm going to go buy the recording of this message. I'm going to go get it or I'm going to go home and download it. Whatever they choose, however they choose to disseminate that information. And we go home and we do that and we listen. And when we get to that point, it just doesn't have quite the same wallop. Do you ever notice that? I think that's because there is something about being present, being there. And as pastor said, you can't get that sitting in your easy chair at home. You can't get the same punch from the message. There's something about being in that corporate setting with a body of believers, people that believe God and are pulling, that God speaks to us and addresses us. And sometimes it's just one thing we hear. One thing that penetrates beyond this and gets down to the heart. And the heart hears something that turns that area in our life around. And, you know, it's amazing. We usually can mark those days. We've all had those where we can actually mark that day. Man, on that day, I heard God. God said this to me, and it made all the difference in the world. So it's not just about physically hearing the word of God. What does this say? Well, it does say that faith comes by hearing, but it tells us then that hearing comes by the word of God. So hearing is the important thing here. Hearing is the important thing. How does hearing come? It comes by the word of God. So faith does come by hearing, but hearing is what we need to focus on here. Hearing comes by the word of God. And as I've said this for the last couple weeks, I'm not intending to play word games here. I'm trying to make a point, so please bear with me. You know, this is not parsing words or anything like that. I'm trying to make a point that there is more than one kind of hearing. We can't limit it to just hearing with these physical ears. There's more than one kind of hearing. There's the hearing that's taking place right now that you are hearing with your physical ears. There's that kind of hearing that's taking place. So there's hearing that takes place when you hear a message preached or spoken. But then there's spiritual hearing. And that's the kind of hearing that produces faith. When spiritual hearing takes place. So faith comes by that kind of hearing, and that kind of hearing comes from the word of God. Well, wait a minute now. Pastor's preaching the word, so shouldn't I have spiritual hearing? No, we need to understand something about what this word means. What happens when we hear with our heart is that it moves from here to here. And why does it need to move from here to here? Because this is what we believe with. We don't believe. Does the Bible say we believe with our heads? No. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that we believe what with what? With our hearts. Our heart is a faith factory. It's like a faith producer, a faith factory. We don't believe with our heads. Yes, we acknowledge the truth with our heads. That's where we begin. You know, otherwise we're going to have our head and heart fighting. we need to have it here. We need to believe what the word says. We need to accept God's word as truth. But it has to go beyond here to here, to hearing it spiritually in our hearts before we'll ever begin to experience what that promise says. So it's what the heart man believes. That's why our hearts have to hear what the word of God says. So we have to believe with our heart. The heart must hear. Well, what does the heart need to hear? A really great sermon by so-and-so, or a teaching series, or if I just listen to the Bible on tape enough, or if I just spend enough time meditating on a scripture. Those are all vehicles, but they're not an end in themselves. What do we have to hear? Well, Jesus says in John 6:63, he says that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That word is the word rhema. It's the same word that's in Romans 10:17, where it talks about the word. What is the rhema? Well, we've said, well, that's the spoken word. So we've assumed that means what we hear with these ears. But I love Thayer. Mr. Thayer had a very, what I consider to be a very unique definition for this word. Yes, he says it's an uttered word. But he defines rhema as that which is or has been spoken or uttered by the living voice. Have you ever been reading in your Bible and you're reading along and all of a sudden something just explodes? That's a rhema. We might say it's a revelation. We might call it all kinds of different things. But that is the living voice coming through that written, those pen and ink words on the page, what's been printed on that page. It's what the living voice is speaking. See, again, that just, I love it when God talks to me like that, when something jumps off the page. I'm listening to the scriptures. I'm listening through the Bible right now, and I heard something about what happened with, just take a little side note here, because I've heard it 3 or 4 times now in the last week. It's a program I listen to repeats certain chapters in the New Testament a few days in a row. And I was listening to what happened when Jesus was anointed before his trial and his death and burial and resurrection. And he was anointed with very costly anointing oils. And Judas, who was in the presence of that happening, got very offended by that. Said, oh, this could have been sold and, used for the poor. But of course, we know that really what it was is that he was dipping in the bag. And it says he got offended. I mean, I assumed he got offended by that. So what did he do? He went right out and betrayed Jesus. You can see why it is so important to get offenses dealt with. Because look what it did in that situation. It led to Jesus' betrayal. He betrayed Jesus, and he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. So, I mean, that's a little side note, but when you hear something physically with your ears, there's going to be truths that come through to us. Now, I'm not talking about something that we figure out intellectually. We're not talking about intellectualism at all here. We're talking about heart faith. Yes, we need to be able to understand the word and to have an intelligent understanding of the things we hear, but it needs to go beyond this to the heart if we're ever to benefit from it. So this faith comes by hearing what the living voice is. Why? It's not just reading the word or hearing this word read by our pastor or another anointed Bible teacher. Why? Because God's word is not pen and ink. It's an expression of the living God. That's what it is. It's an expression of who he is. It's not him. These are just words printed on a page. So this isn't sufficient. But Jesus said when he speaks to us through this, there's spirit and there's life in that. And that's what we all need to seek for. We need to seek for that spirit and life expression. And unless the Spirit of God speaks through those words, we won't profit from it. That's, again, why we could have churches full of people that are sick and struggling financially, dealing with marriage problems, relationship problems. They're walking in fear. They have no peace. Even though they've heard what the word says about them, they could quote scripture after scripture after scripture, yet they're not experiencing it because they're not profiting from the word. They're not profiting because the Spirit of God, they have never sought the Spirit of God to speak to their heart about what that is saying. So it's not just what we know the Word says. You know, the more intelligent we are, the easier it is to get a headful. But we need more than a headful. Amen. It needs to go. It needs to impact the heart. It needs to have an effect on the heart before life transformation begins to happen. So the heart has got to hear in order for the heart to believe. And what the heart has to hear is it has to hear from that living voice. What is the living God saying to you through that? That's what the source of faith is. Faith's source is the living God's living voice speaking to your heart. So the heart has to be touched by the word. The heart has to, because the heart is what believes. It's with the heart that matters. I know this is repetitive, but this is why we're not seeing more and realizing more of the promises of God, experiencing more of the promises of God in our lives. Jesus went so far in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, to say that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema, everything that the living voice has to say that proceeds out of his mouth. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to live our lives by the living voice of God speaking and directing us. Not just, well, I saw it in the Word. I saw it in the Scriptures. I read in the Word today, and this is what it says, so I'm going to do this. No, we need to hear from the living voice. Every day we need to hear. That's where life, true life, is going to come from as a believer. And so in the case of blind Bartimaeus, in the case of the two blind men, you know, they knew who Jesus was. They had a knowledge of who he was because people had been saying, hey, that prophet is in town. You know, the guy who's been laying hands on people and healing them and raising up dead people, and the guy who's been opening deaf ears and dumb mouths, loosing dumb tongues, that guy, he's in town. He needs a loose mind today, I guess. He's in town. Now, you know, how many people do you suppose heard that? Because it says that Jesus' fame was spread abroad. So, you know, a lot of people have heard this kind of stuff. But something must have happened with what they heard about this guy. Something must have happened, because when they called on him, when they came to him and called on him, they called him, "Thou Son of David." Now, do you think that's what was being spread abroad? No, I think what was being spread abroad was the works he was doing. But something more was said to them. They heard something more than just that he was in town. They heard in their hearts, this is the Son of David. That means this is Messiah. That means I can go to him and get my blind eyes opened, because this is Messiah. That's what that means. They heard something more than what they had heard with their physical ears. And what did it do? It emboldened them to act. That's what faith will do, is it always emboldens us to act. Faith is not inactive. We don't sit around and wait for something when we're in faith. Faith emboldens us to take some kind of action. We don't sit around and we're just waiting on God. We're just waiting. Now, there's a waiting, but we'll see that here if I get to it yet today. There is a waiting, but it's for another reason. But we're not just waiting around for some manifestation or some kind of experience or something. That isn't faith. That's waiting. That's all that is. That's hope, actually, probably. It's just hope, maybe. But they heard something that emboldened them, and they made a demand on what they believed was for them, which was, in both those cases, they called out for mercy. Boy, that stopped Jesus dead in his tracks. So, you know, James 2, and I won't get into this probably, I don't know when, if I do at all, but James chapter 2 talks a lot about the importance of the doing side. When true Bible faith is present, there will be some kind of action or corresponding movement that accompanies it. And I love the Living Bible. In James chapter 2, verse 20, the Living Bible says, "Fool." This is, you know, the Living Bible, it can be kind of in your face. "When will you ever learn that believing is useless without doing what God wants you to do?" So believing isn't enough. There's always going to be, when faith is really, truly present, there's going to be something And of course, that's customized. That's customizable. That's why you can't imitate someone else's testimony. You can't imitate the things they did or how they got there. You can maybe learn from it, but you can't imitate it because God isn't going to speak to you the way he spoke to them. That's why so often people go out and they'll imitate what somebody else did and it doesn't work. Why? Because they didn't hear from the living voice. Faith didn't come for them. All they did was imitate what someone else did. You know, it's lazy. It's just lazy Christianity. We just want to get other people's results by copying what they did. And that just doesn't work. So what the kind of faith we're talking about isn't just sheer willpower or determination either, because there's people in the world that can get the things that they want in life just through sheer willpower or determination to see it happen. We've heard stories about people who've been healed that way that don't even know God. They just will themselves to be well. We're not talking about that. We're talking about divine faith. We're talking about faith that comes by hearing, spiritual hearing from the voice of our living Father God who called us to be in fellowship with him. It's not something that we can fabricate. It's something that has to be received. Faith is something that is received when we hear words spoken by God in our hearts. That's how faith comes. It's received. It's not something mimicked or imitated or fabricated. Now, last week we also looked at, I know I'm repeating a lot, but I just feel it's necessary to do this, so just bear with me. But John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Father likewise. And so we looked at that a little bit last week, that everything Jesus did, everything, he had to first see it, or we could say hear it. And I believe that my conviction is that he did hear or see those things in his times of prayer. And we looked at a number of scriptures or mentioned a number of scriptures. There's many, many scriptures where it talks about him rising up early and going to a place of prayer or spending the end of the day in solitude in prayer with the Lord. How did Jesus see the things that were going to happen the next day? Perhaps he saw specifics. Maybe one night as he was praying, he heard multitudes are going to be healed tomorrow. Maybe he heard that. Or in the case of, I love the case of the man by the pool of Bethesda. People always say, well, how did he know just to go to that one man? Why was it just that one moment? Or perhaps that's what he saw as he prayed, as he sought the direction of God to hear God's voice. Perhaps he saw that that was the man for that day. But Jesus said this. He said, I can't do anything but that I first see the Father do it, or we could say hear the Father do it. So he was hearing and he was seeing God's plan for his next day of ministry. And I guess I question then, well, how can we be effective as ministers of reconciliation? Perhaps God wants to show you in your time of prayer who it is he wants you to talk to tomorrow or share with tomorrow. So often we just go helter-skelter and we just grab the first person that we see and we want to start sharing with them. Well, maybe God hasn't prepared their heart yet to hear anything. But God can show you whose heart he has prepared. So once Jesus heard, then he was equipped. That hearing equipped him with something more than just simple beliefs. You know, he knew what the scriptures said. He knew what the word said, but he had to hear as well. He had to hear what the word said. Why? Because the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So without, we say, oh, we're victorious, but we have to be walking in the kind of faith I'm talking about to really live a victorious, overcoming life. Because every day we face battles. We're facing battles on the left, battles on the right. Well, it might be your left and right, but it's not mine. But we're called to be overcomers. But faith is involved in overcoming. Yes, we're in the spirit, and as far as an established truth, yes, we're overcomers in Christ. But then there comes the experiencing and overcoming life. Amen. How many of you want to overcome in the area of healing? You want to overcome in the area of your financial life. You want to overcome when it comes to how you conduct yourself in your marriage or on the job or with other people. You want to be an overcomer. You want to overcome fear and timidity. You want to walk out a life of peace. Those are all areas that we need to overcome in. He says that faith is what accomplishes that. Faith is what accomplishes that. And that's a language of warfare. And what got me thinking along these lines yesterday, is before I got studying, is I always read Rick Renner sends out his little sparkling gems. And yesterday he brought out one, and there was just part of it that just jumped out at me as I was reading it. And I just saw it in relation to the issue of what we're talking about, the God kind of faith. You know, and this is a verse we've all heard many, many times, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so he's saying here that, first of all, our weapons are not natural. So that means just having a head full of the word is not what God intended for you to use as weaponry. It's not a natural thing. So it's not limited, it's not natural, it's not just human faith or human believing. But it does go on to say that they're mighty through God. That means they've been provided by God. The weapons that he intends for us to use have been provided by God. And they're infused with the life and power of God. That's what the word mighty means. It means it makes everything possible. It makes us capable. It makes us able to overcome. It's interesting because the same word that's translated mighty here in the passages where Jesus answers his disciples when they say, well, how is this possible? Then he says, all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible. It's the same word. It's the same word. All things are possible with God. All things are powerful with God. All things, we are capable through God to do all things. That's what he's saying there. So it's not just a human thing. It's not just human understanding or believing or us just believing mentally, trying to believe our way through a situation. God has to be involved in it. But in 2 Corinthians 10:4, it goes on to say that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of human origin. It's not just believing with the head. It's a product of God's involvement. And that word warfare, and this is what Rick Renner brought out, he says that the word warfare here comes from the word stratos, which is where we get the word, English word, strategy. And so, you know, in a natural conflict, don't commanding officers come up before they go into battle? They come up with a strategy of some kind. There's a strategy involved. If they're going to prevail, they're going to have victory, they're going to conquer. There's some kind of strategy. As they plan that attack, as they plan it, there's a strategy. They just don't go out there and start shooting, and, you know, there's a strategy. And so this is another key about the whole walk of faith, and that is that spiritual warfare doesn't become powerful just through human means. That if we're going to be effective in a faith battle against sickness, then we need a strategy. Amen. We don't need to know that we're in a battle, but that we are in a battle and that a strategy is necessary. And that's one of God's weapons, is a strategy. There's a strategy for how we're going to fight this fight, how we're going to overcome or be victorious. But how does that strategy come? Well, don't we have to hear? Don't we have to hear the strategy? So again, we can see the importance of hearing the word of God. So if we apply ourselves to hearing God's living voice, we'll get a strategy. And see, that's the problem, is so many people have no strategy whatsoever. They're not standing on anything. They just know the Bible says that by his stripes you're healed, and that's all they're doing. They know what the word says, but they have no strategy. There's no strategy for how they and God are going after this thing in their lives right now. How are they going to experience the overcoming or the victory? And so God holds the key to every victory in our life. Every single victory that we need, God holds the key. He has a strategy for everything we're facing in life that's not in line with what the scriptures say, God holds the key. And he wants to provide us with that key. He wants to give that to us. It's a divinely inspired strategy. It's not something we're going to get from someone else's testimony or by listening to a teaching series or by reading a book. Those things can help equip. They can help get us thinking differently. I would liken those things to basic training. What happens in basic training? Soldiers go out and they get familiarized with the weapons. They get familiarized with warfare. They understand how things work on the battlefield. They get the protocol all down and all that, but that doesn't make them victorious. They haven't fought the battle yet, have they? But when the commanding officer comes along and he says, this is the strategy, now all the things that they acquired, all the skills and abilities they've acquired through their basic training, which we could call mind renewal, spend time renewing our minds, thinking differently, now they can employ those in the strategy. So God has this key for every one of us, whatever it is today that you might be facing, if it's a healing challenge or a financial challenge or some kind of relationship challenge, there is a strategy. God has it. He's not holding out either, is he? God never holds out. He says those that seek him will find him. So our job isn't to focus on getting more faith. Our job is to focus on the one who has the strategy. Let's focus on God. He's got a strategy that'll give me victory in this. And it'll cause me to be an overcomer in this. And you know the thing about this that's so wonderful is that you can't live on yesterday's strategies. You have to seek God on a daily basis for strategies. What worked yesterday in one area, you're not going to be able to just cookie cutter that into today's situation. You're going to have to continue to seek God on a daily basis. I think the manna was a good picture of that. They couldn't save it. So without that strategy or some kind of strategic battle plan, you know, all the mind renewal in the world is pointless because you won't know how to apply it. You won't know what to do with it. So I think we're going to cut it off here and we'll pick it up next week because there's more here that I want to share about this. But the thing is that you have to understand is that victory is unique. It's distinctive. How we walk through a victory or a conquering in a situation is extremely distinctive and customized to us. And what does that require? It requires fellowship with God. It requires that we spend time with him. We can't just go our merry way every day and think we're going to have victory. We need to hear from God. Amen? We need that living voice every single day if we're going to be effective with that person that we want to touch and minister to. We're going to have to, what's God's strategy? He's got one. Amen? There's a strategy. So we'll pick up with this next week and go a little further with it.